shall we read a poem from A Light in the Attic.
Hello, all, and welcome to A Shall We Read a Poem. I'm Russ.
I'm Lauren. I'm still sick.
Oh, thank God you're back. Now I don't have to talk endlessly and breathlessly about body horror for 20 minutes.
I listened to the last episode and there was a certain point, and I'm pretty good at separating these things, but there was a point in which I had to pause eating my lunch.
My laundry list of Mütter Museum items.
Yes, I just don't do well with soft tissue diseases.
Ah, mercy. Well, how are you?
Not great. I'm still sick.
You sound better.
Oh, good. I don't feel better, but I have learned that if someone has an illness that's lasting for a pretty long time, they often can't tell when they improve because they still feel like shit. I'm still having problems breathing. I kind of feel like I'm underwater. You know, when you like go underwater and then you feel that pressure on your chest.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I feel all the time.
Thank heaven for the Duo Neb.
The Duo Neb?
You don't have those breath treatments yet?
What are those?
Oh, it's a machine where they like slam steroids down your gullet. Hang on, I can find it. It's called I always ordered them as Duo Neb updrafts. Duo updraft. Oh, Duo Neb is the name of the medication.
Oh, you're talking about a nebulizer.
Yes.
Well, I was going to read a poem rather than complaining about things, but we've already started on complaining about things.
Well, is your poem about complaining?
Yes, actually.
Oh, boy. Well, we can read it and then complain more.
All right. Sour Face Anne.
Ah, nice.
Sour Face Anne, with your chin in your hand, haven't you ever been pleased? You used to complain that you had no fur coat, and now you complain of the fleas.
That's what I would do.
I was going to talk about, well, just kind of, well, actually, this poem, but I could also just complain. Which would you prefer? Maybe we'll do both.
I love a trip to the well, actually.
All right, so fleas.
They don't live in fur coats, do they?
No, so fleas are obligate blood. I think they're called hemophage. Let me see.
Well, eater of blood, that would make sense.
Yeah. Hemophage? Let's see, obligate. I just want to... I like the word of obligate. Like, cats are obligate meat eaters. And it just means it's something that you have
pleasure,
to...
It's our obligation.
Hemophage. Obligate hemophage. Yeah, so fleas are obligate hemophages. So they can't actually live on a fur coat.
Ah... Could they travel on a fur coat?
Possibly. Yeah, they could. They can travel on objects, and often what will happen is that fleas don't like to leave the host animal.
Yeah.
But they will if they have to, and sometimes that have to might be because there's some sort of pesticide, or there are just so many fleas that the host animal can't really contain them all. And they will lay eggs, or eggs will fall off into soft materials where they aren't easily removed, and so then you can get like fleas in your carpet or a fur coat or whatever that is soft. There's a certain point where your house is considered infested.
Oh God, and they're feeding on you, I assume.
Yes, I've been in such places where there's so many fleas hatching that from the carpets and stuff that they just eat you.
Fleas aren't like bed bugs, right? Like fleas are easier to kill.
Yeah, they are. And
oh, thank God.
And when there's that much of an infestation, they can't all survive. Like not enough blood. They're just kind of trying to find hosts and they can't. And so they just starve to death.
Bug infestations get me, man. Like I ever had bed bugs, I would just burn the house down.
I did deal with them once. We got rid of them. Luckily we're on top of it, and there was a very small population, and so it didn't.
And on top of them as well, hey yo. Speaking of bed bugs, wow. So it started with France, right? How Paris was like, wow, we sure have a lot of bed bugs these days. And then it just spread from there where it's like, now everyone's terrified of bed bugs. And I saw they were like, here's the Toronto subway. Look at the bed. And it probably was a bed bug that they were filming when they can travel on clothing as well. And yeah, they prefer to be in one place. But now on r/bedbugs, it's freaking hilarious because all subreddits eventually devolve into chaos and they're just posting pictures of any old bug and being like, is this a bed bug or not? And it's like, that's an American cockroach. They're 100 times the size of a bed bug.
Well, here are two insects that can live in a fur coat and none of them are obligate blood consumers. There's the clothing moth, which I often call a wool moth.
One of the, those ate my coat once.
I know, they're much such fuckers. They, all of my wool clothing inevitably gets moth holes in them, because once you get them, you just can't. Mm. Unless you own only one wool item. If you own only one wool item, you can get rid of them by, usually by freezing whatever you have for a long time. But if you have a bunch of them.
Thank God for polyester.
Yeah, I love wool. I love wool.
I mean, it feels better and works nicer.
Yeah, well, your hats are wool, so you're still vulnerable.
There's no moths here. There's those loop, well, fucking, yeah, listen to me. There's those looper moths, but they don't eat clothes.
The other thing that can get in a fur coat and live there is carpet beetles.
Oh?
And that is what I would expect a lot of people on the Reddits who don't know what bed bugs are to start posting is carpet beetles. They don't really look much like bed bugs, but they look more like them than a lot of things that you would find in your house.
These look more like roly-polies.
Are we looking at the same thing?
The varied carpet beetle.
Oh, okay. I'm not looking specifically at the varied one. But they're also they're part of a family of insects that are used for cleaning skeletons.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Wait, weren't you just complaining about soft tissue?
No, it's like soft tissue diseases. Like, if you want to talk to me about like some weird tumor that's soft tissue, I'm probably not even going to mind it that much, but I don't want to be eating doing it.
So, like, if I were to go down to the body farm and they were needing to clean off a skeleton, they would just have like a big tub of these that they would dump in with the skeleton and be like, have fun, boys.
I mean, not specifically carpet beetles, but they're, you know, they are ones that are more adapted to do that, yes.
This is so exciting.
But that is now, sort of thing you would find in a fur coat and not a flea.
Do they prefer dead flesh or living flesh?
I don't think they're really adapted to live on living animals.
Oh, so what do they eat, like dust and stuff?
I mean, the carpet beetles, yeah, they eat, like, the dead skin. I think they're called carpet beetles, because I assume they're, eating, wool carpets. Or, like,
You know what I was looking at that I thought looked like a roly-poly? I was looking at the larva form.
Oh, I was like, what on earth? No, they don't look anything
like
it.
Stink bugs.
Yeah, they're just little, I mean, they're little round little guys.
Oh, look, they have wings. Oh, how cute.
Mm-hmm. They're not so bad looking. But they do consume skin and hair of dead animals, so they would be fine on a coat.
These are too pretty to be bed bugs.
I know. They kind of look fuzzy. I don't know if they actually are fuzzy. They just look fuzzy. Like, they have the speckles on their carapace look kind of like hairs.
The larval form are commonly known as woolly bears.
Oh, that's cute.
I don't know who the common there is, but there you go.
Yeah, that's cute. One of the reasons I wanted to complain about fleas has to do with my terrible furball cat.
Who's bringing lots of leaves these days.
Oh my gosh, he's bringing me so many leaves. I think it's because the magnolia out front is just shedding them. So is my kiwi. They're just shedding the leaves, and Minerva brings them in. And today I found a pile of leaves outside my door. And I started sweeping them up, and Minerva started staring at me through the cat door, and I always feel really bad about disposing of them while she's watching, so I just stopped sweeping them up. I just swept them into a pile and left them there until she stopped looking at me.
I brought these for you, you sinner.
I do love it when she does it, but then I do have to clean them up.
That's a weird one.
But Minerva does not like to be touched without her consent at all, and she does not put up with it. And so trying to give her flea medication is really difficult. Like, the only time Minerva likes to be touched is when Minerva, like, decides it's cuddle time and she gets on my chest and purrs. Then it's time for touching. Any other time, she doesn't want it and she will bite you. And
that
so
there's no way that's not the cat for you.
I could have a nicer cat. I could have a nice cat. Instead, I have Minerva.
Cuddles on my terms only.
I could have a nice cat. Instead, I have Minerva. But
yeah, but Minerva wouldn't be happier anywhere else.
No, she wouldn't be. She loves only me, and I do appreciate her absurdity. But she had fleas, and I haven't been feeling well, so I haven't been taking great care of her, and it's hard to get flea meds on her when she's just being a bitch and trying to bite you. But I finally did.
So I don't have a good transition for this, but since we were complaining, I almost witnessed the birth of a conspiracy.
Oh, yeah?
The Just Stop Oil people are the ones that like to glue themselves to streets and throw soup at paintings and that kind of thing.
I don't really know much about them.
Well, I just described their antics.
Okay.
And I mentioned them because their latest stunt that was like last week, they smashed a painting in the National Gallery, the Rokeby Venus, and just, you know, with hammers. They didn't really hurt the painting that bad, I don't think. There's bulletproof glass on the
thing. Yeah, I mean, they're all protected, you know? So they're not really doing any damage to things.
Well, unless you count the people who die because of their traffic jams waiting in the ambulances.
Oh, that happened?
Yeah, that happened.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, no, these guys can suck a dick. Anyway, that's not the conspiracy. They're pieces of shit. I don't care about them. But it came to light that they were funded by Eileen Getty, who is one of the Getty heiresses.
Right, like the Getty Museum.
Yeah.
Like Getty Photos.
She founded the CEF, and then they then contributed like $1 million to Just Stop Oil. And the deal is, like in real life, they sold off the oil shares in the 80s, and mm-hmm. she just has all this family money and investments sitting around. But it does come from oil. Like, she's not involved with the oil business anymore, and indeed she funds a lot of climate change things, but her money still came from oil.
Right.
And so that's, and so like, there's the seed of conspiracy right there, where it's like, okay, they're funded by oil money, even though, yeah, here's the technicality. But
I mean, I technically get money from fracking, and I donate it, some of it to like the Sierra Club.
Oh, there you go. But the conspiracy came about because, well, if they're funded by oil money, then how do we know these aren't like false flag attacks and not just a bunch of idiot kids?
Okay.
And so it's like, no, these aren't actually Just Stop Oil. These are actually people working for the oil industry, because that's the only way their tactics would be this stupid.
I guess I can see that.
As I say, that was the potential birth of a conspiracy, not one that I actually believe.
No, I it seems more like some kind of performance protest than something that is a false flag. But that kind of segues into other things I was going to complain about.
Sweet!
Because I have been sick, as I said, for 5 weeks. And I'm not, from my perspective, I'm not really getting better, even though I'm sounding better. I guess the laryngitis is going, but the bronchitis is still not great. And I've been to my doctor a few times, and they keep being like, nope, you don't have pneumonia. Sucks to your asthma. they decided to put me on, I can't take prednisone because it makes me crazier than I already am. So the doctor was like, well, let's try the steroidal inhaler, because I've had there was one steroid inhaler I had that didn't do anything wrong to me, except that I did get thrush in my mouth once, which happens with steroid inhalers if you're not careful. You have to, if you use a steroid inhaler, you have to wash your mouth out really well afterward, or you'll get a yeast infection in your mouth. And that did happen once.
I was teaching science, and I remember some poor girl coming up to me and being like, "Do you know what's wrong with my mouth?" Yes, sweetie, I do.
How did she react?
That is called thrush. She's like, "Really? What's that?" And I was like, "Yeast infection."
Yeah.
Go to the doctor.
Yeah. So my doctor suggested I try a combination inhaler called Symbicort that has a steroid and a bronchial dilator in it. And I was like, sure, I did fine on the one steroid inhaler that I tried, except for the thrush. I'll do better about washing my mouth out. And so I started using it, and it gave me heart palpitations. And then last night, I had this horrific nightmare that I partially blame on you.
Oh, sweet! I'm influencing dreams now. I'm like Morpheus.
It's because it was a nightmare about something that I am never concerned about, which is murder cults.
Oh, I'm only a little concerned about murder cults.
I am never concerned about murder cults, but you talk about murder cults on your other podcast, Hey James, Watch This, all the time, because you watch a lot of horror shows.
Oh, yeah, Venus, that was a good one.
Yeah, I think that was the last one. But anyway, so I had incredibly vivid dreams about a murder cult that, like, infiltrated my hometown. Actually, Ooh. the one of the charismatic leaders of the murder cult was a childhood friend.
Nice.
And so it was easy to infiltrate, like, my family and family friends, and they all just thought it was this nice boy who was trying to get everybody to, like, politely be part of their religion. And then I ended up getting chased through the woods in the dark with knives.
Sweet. Okay. That's a good act one and two. Okay, where are we going with this?
I don't know, because luckily I woke up. But I remember, I do remember there were, like, ways of monitoring. They were, like, they had, like, planned for people escaping. And so there were these, I don't know what they were. They were kind of like tripwires, except for they were above me. They didn't make any sense. They were, like, right above me, and, like, my head would bump them as I was running through the woods, and they were there to be like, oh, she's here. And it was vivid enough that I can remember how those wires felt against my head, and also what shape the knives were that the or at least the one that I had in my hand, because I when someone first came after
stole
me with
a knife.
I stole a knife, yes.
this is a cool screenplay we got working here.
I don't know. I don't have dreams about murder cults, Russ. I don't ever think about murder cults.
That'll be the title. I don't ever think about murder cults.
Well, so I stopped this inhaler after this morning because I was like, I don't know if this is helping my breathing. But the only things that are happening that I can be sure of is murder cult nightmares, heart palpitations, and I'm getting steroid puffiness in my face. And those are the only good. Those are the only things I can tell that are happening.
Oh, God, it sucks getting old, doesn't it?
I've had this problem occur before. And the only way I got better the last time that I can remember is I eventually went to visit my family in Florida. So that's probably how it's going to get resolved this time.
Take to the seaside.
Exactly.
It'll cure the consumption.
Exactly. That is exactly what's going to happen.
That poor wizened consumptive. They need the dry desert air.
Well, for me, I mean, I feel like if the dry desert air is just going to give me, like, valley fever at this point. Actually, no, it's not dry desert air that gives you valley fever. It's, like, wet desert air when it gets wet.
She succumbed to the valley fever. Man, if an ailment from Oregon Trail kills you, you live wrong.
Yeah. I could see myself getting typhoid.
Sally died fording the river.
Yeah, I do feel like I'm a consumptive.
Get this. I mean, you know, it used to be, what, like 30% of the population or something?
Yeah.
Leastwise in Haitian prisons it is.
Yeah. I thought, I mean, when this first happened, I thought maybe I had Legionnaires.
You mentioned that.
Yeah.
But when you first mentioned it, you said like it was a paranoid thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, I was just paranoid that I had Legionnaires. And there's no way I had Legionnaires because I never got pneumonia. I just have a bronchitis that will go on and on and on and on. And I am miserable.
My cough will go on.
Yeah. I can't sing anymore.
Do Tom Waits.
I may have enough vocal control for Tom Waits now.
Got your brain. Got your brain. Business. Got your brain.